You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another fun episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and this is episode number 1062. Thank you for hanging out with us today. It's a beautiful day here. A little cold. Did our walk? My hands got cold.
Nice. I love those walks. I would recommend, as an entrepreneur, if you're having trouble getting your day started, try a little 2-mile walk. The mileage doesn't really matter. What matters is how long it takes. So I would say just try to walk for about 20 minutes. And notice how clarity becomes king, and focus is just so important. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started today. Very excited to be here. Today, we are going to be talking about your drone business. It is the end of the year, and the annual taxable season is coming to an end. And if you are self-employed, if you're a freelancer, if you're a business owner, pass-through entity, or LLC, then you understand the write-offs or deductions that you are legally allowed to make, which is a great thing for the economy as it increases consumer spending. And since our economy is about 70% consumer spending, then it's really, really important for you to spend your money.
wisely, of course.
Yes, wisely. So we're here to talk about, you know, in the year of 2020, we're expecting all these new drones. What equipment should we buy? Should we focus on getting another drone or new piece of equipment right now? What other types of expenses can we take for our business? And what should we be thinking of? So exciting, because Rob should be talking more than me today, which is always a good thing. So excited about that and so much more, which we have a couple of sponsors today. You heard a long-winded discussion yesterday as far as the sponsor is concerned for the Drone You Fly-In. Don't be afraid to check out the Drone You Fly-In, because you will be afraid if you miss out on it. And I don't want you to miss out on it. It's a lot of fun. And it's something, it's one of those experiences that it's extremely difficult to describe, because while it's a lot of fun, it's also extremely valuable for the people who come, because you learn so much, you test yourself, you put yourself in a new environment, and you learn about the systems that you've created and the systems others have created. And you're able to compare and contrast and really work with like-minded people. It's the place where you have fun, where you learn, and where you grow. And if you remember what summer camp was like as a kid, well, this is like summer camp on roids, all right? So make sure you check it out, droneyouflyin.com, especially if you love old Western towns, because there is not another Western town like this. I promise you that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool. And we also want to mention our friends at Fortress UAV. They are ready for your drone if you're having a problem getting that thing back up in the air for whatever reason. Maybe you crashed it. Maybe you just can't get it running. You don't know why. Send it over to them. And if you go to fortressuav.com/droneu and use the promo code DRONEU, all caps, I believe that matters, then they'll give you 25% off of their diagnostic fee. They've got a easy-to-use system, a great team over there, and you know, fixing drones is a very challenging prospect, but they've got a good crew over there that works hard at it, and they'll be honest with you. They'll be upfront with you and let you know if there's an issue that they can't fix. And I think you'll be in good hands if you're looking for someone to talk to about getting your drone fixed. So go to fortressuav.com/droneu.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Rob. It's Roger from brandnewsteam.com. Thank you very much for all that you do. I've learned so much as a drone pilot and also drone strategy in my business. And speaking of drone strategy, as we close out 2019 and headed to 2020, what investments would you recommend that we make in our businesses that will also be a tax write-off that would help really set us up for success in 2020? So, for example, what drone would you buy today, or computer, or software, or accessories that you think would be a good investment if you had, let's say, $1,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 that you wanted to invest in equipment? So that's my question. Thanks for your help and all that you do. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate the question very much. There's some wisdom behind that question. I think it's definitely something that we should all be thinking about. And not necessarily just within the context of what should we be spending money on before the end of the tax season so that we can take advantage of any deductions this year. Because keep in mind that you're going to have to pay taxes next year too, right? So it's interesting. We definitely have created this paradigm where, and it's, you know, in many cases, it's legit where we all kind of get into that mode of, hey, it's the end of the year. What can I buy? What do I need to deduct on my taxes for this year? But I think what we need to do about that is a lot of things. One of them is slow down. And I think we need to start by looking backwards, right? And seeing how we did this year. Because, for example, you might have...
Accountability is important.
There's accountability. It's just a great time to take a look at what things we've spent money on that maybe we shouldn't have. Just make sure that the focus is right. It isn't all about, and I'm not saying that this is you, Roger, but I'm just saying that in general, I think we can get into this mode, right? And you might find that you've got some really great projects coming up and that 2020 is looking like a great year. 2019 might have been a good year as well, but maybe spending that money in 2020 is actually a better idea because you could use the deduction then in a more effective way than you can in 2019, right? So you've got to have a good sense of what your taxable income is going to look like in 2019 before you can really answer this question, because you might bump tax brackets. My hunch is that the majority of you out there listening are either an LLC, a sole proprietor, or maybe an S corporation. Very few of you are C corps, which means that all of your taxable income is going to just flow right into your personal tax return, which means that your personal tax return, the tax brackets effective for individuals is what you're going to need to pay attention to, right? So if you're in a position where you're in a fairly favorable tax bracket, well then, like I said, maybe pushing those deductions into next year would be a better idea, because you expect that you're going to be in a higher tax bracket next year, in which case buying that equipment next year is going to be more beneficial to you. So you really need to think about those kinds of things prior to jumping into the question of what should I buy to set myself up for next year. You might not want to do it until January. You know, on that note, I think that obviously I'm sure Paul can give you some great ideas on things that you can look into buying, whether it's some really nice SD cards or Skydio, the new drone from Skydio, all that kind of stuff is very exciting and could probably do a lot of great things for your business. One thing that I would say, though, is I would love to see people spend money on making yourself better. So it's not necessarily about the equipment. And it is not my intention to make that comment a drone you plug. Obviously, if you want to let us help you with some of that, that's great. But work on you, whether it's maybe buying some books, maybe buying some classes, maybe buying... Paul just talked about buying his wife some classes on the Adobe suite and getting better at that. Maybe you buy some classes on becoming a better editor. Maybe... I mean, we could go on and on and on about maybes, right? Maybe you go to a Rockefeller class or some sort of a... Maybe you really spring for it and try to get into a Tony Robbins class, right? Something along those lines where you're really working on yourself, because the more you're prepared as a person, as a salesperson, as a provider of a service to your clients, the more effective whatever equipment you buy is going to be anyway. So I would say start with how can I better myself and then focus on spending some money there. Then you can move into all kinds of equipment. I mean, what's on your mind, Paul, as far as what we need that would actually relate to the people that are listening, not like podcast stuff or something?
Well, I was just thinking, like, in my business, in my, you know, side hustle, in my still flying drones for money hustle.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, what would I do? And just this weekend, I was stopped short of finishing a project because I filled up one editing hard drive and I had to copy the hard drive to another hard drive to just continue working on a project, which took 4 hours, by the way.
Yeah.
And so like the first thing on my mind is just simply writing out a plan of working on my business. So like, you know, you mentioned looking at this last year, what I spent versus what I had made. I think one of the biggest things that we overlook all the time is really taking project cost, project by project, and having a sheet for that. So I think writing out your plan and saying, okay, what do you want to accomplish with the plan? Do you want to hold yourself accountable? If you're already sitting on a lot of cash, is there a way that to utilize that cash that will benefit your business in the future? And then what are you going to plan to do with those things? Because I think you could really easily get yourself in trouble if, let's say the industry slows next year, right? And you just spend a lot of money on equipment and, you know, you can't feed your family or something like that, right? So I think it's important to just plan and look at how many jobs did you have this year versus last year? How much money did you make per job? Is it what you thought? And,
right.
And just like, you know, do some... I guess it's really just some really complex thinking hard. You know, you and I have been saying that the key to success, whether it's in life or if it's in business, is self-awareness and then hard work. So this is kind of self-awareness of our business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, you know, as far as the actual things that I want to get done before I start buying things, because I'm thinking of what equipment purchases fit my goals. And that's kind of
exactly
where I'm going. So.
Yeah.
For me, it's organizing footage. So how can I shrink down the huge box of hard drives that I have and consolidate it into one place? So I would be looking at, you know, how can I fix my network storage issues? So I would be looking at a lot of either SSDs or network storage or something.
Or maybe spring for a Drobo or a higher end version of that or something.
Yes, yes.
As a possibility.
Mm-hmm. And even now that I have a Drobo, I'm like... I just want like a something that's like the size of that box over there,
right?
Where I could just plug in a bunch of little SSDs, you know, and I can have 100 terabytes of space, you know.
That's a great idea.
So I don't. Also, now that I've had a Drobo, like I don't understand the point of RAID setups. Like I know everyone loves RAID storage because if you know one drive fails, then you've got the other one as a backup. But what I've been seeing is that typically it's the systems that fail. So it's like the Drobo system fails, or like the Synology system fails, or like something fails. And because I've just realized that like there's ultimately no security in having two backups of the same information in the same physical place. So I'm kind of like, why have RAID storage? I might as well just have two incredibly large hard drives that have the same information in two physically different places. Because like I've been driving around with my backpack in my car with a lot of footage on this project that I'm working on. And I don't give a shit if someone steals my computer, I'll just get a new one. But if someone steals my hard drive with irreplicable like footage that I cannot replace, I'm really screwed. And like,
are you backing that up anywhere?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And I put it in a separate physical location.
Got it.
Because good. I'm so afraid of that. So my first purchases would actually be towards network storage. Then I would be looking at a new computer. I think Mac finally nailed it as far as new laptops are concerned.
Really?
Because for the last few years, I have not been wanting to buy any new MacBook computers. And I've just been watching my friends be like, oh, these things are awesome. And then 3 months later, like, I hate the keyboard. I need an escape key. Like all these like little nuanced things that you think are not a big deal, but literally drive very smart people up the wall. Like, so I feel like this newer computer, you know, Matt Schaefer got one, Jason got one. And I think Josh got one as well. They seem to be very good machines for editing, for doing any sort of creative material. But then the next thing that I would be looking at is how can I advance myself and my business ahead of the competition? And I think that would be in purchasing classes.
Yeah.
Now, sure, I could talk about buying DroneU classes and how valuable that would be to people, which I do thoroughly believe to the nth degree. But sometimes there are classes that we don't offer, like things like on Illustrator. You know, I just bought Sarah a class on Illustrator, and realizing how valuable it would be if I knew Illustrator. And I know Photoshop really well. No Illustrator.
Yeah.
So I think... you need to start thinking about what classes, what things could I learn? Like if I took a DaVinci Resolve class and I learned how to better color grade my footage, you know, could that provide more opportunities against my competition? And I will say, you know, as we talk about these little nuanced pieces of ammunition that you can keep in your toolbox so that you can pull them out for the right client, the biggest issue that I see in the drone industry when it comes to drone service providers is their innate lack of systems and how that causes their business to fail. This is not nuanced towards the drone industry either. This is pretty much anyone getting into becoming a small business owner, no matter the industry, whether it's arbitrage, whether it's online blogging and news. Like, unless you fully deep dive, which I'm not even sure is really possible now that I know as much as I know about business, but you need to think about how can I create systems to make every process repeatable by someone else? Because that's the only way you truly build value in your company. And I would say that you don't want to let your business fail on your lack of systems. And I also know how few of our members have taken your business class. And I would just say that I think it's really in everyone's best interest to make sure you watch his business class, because he talks a lot about this. And I will be honest, I failed in this sense in my own business in more than one way. And that's not an easy pill to swallow. So you have to ask yourself, you know, do you want to confront the things that are uncomfortable? Do you want to confront your weaknesses and work on them? Or do you want to succumb to them and face the consequences? I think that's something that I should even really take to heart.
We should all be reevaluating that on an ongoing basis.
So
for sure.
Very, very, very important. Also, I would say, you know, we're talking about expenses. You know, don't be afraid to take 2 days for you and a little mini vacation. And I mean for you. I don't mean the family. I don't mean, you know, with your friends. I mean for you. You take 2 days, 3 days. Typically takes me 2 days to just unwind. So 3 days by yourself. Call it a working vacation. I've seen a lot of my friends doing this, Rob.
Yeah, where, I have too.
Yeah, they're just going to another city during the week. It's a work trip, right? Tell your family I'm going on a work trip, but it's for you and it's for you to unwind and it's for you to unravel. And yeah, you can work the whole time. That's fine. But the clarity that comes from it is amazing.
Yeah, no, I've actually had friends that are going to sort of convent style arrangements where you go, you literally check your phone in and then you just go hang for a while. And I know that's maybe a little bit different from what you're thinking, because some of these folks might want to go do something along the lines of what you're talking about, but actually focus in and do get some work and maybe do some planning for next year. And that's fine as well. But I think there's also a place for getting away from all of that. And what you do with that time is going to be different for everybody, whether it's a spiritual thing or whatever. But yeah, I think particularly in today's day and age where everything is just so fast, so much information constantly coming at us that we're having to assimilate and try to make the most of and take care of our families and on and on and on and on. We need that recharge time. I don't care what kind of a person you are, introvert, extrovert, entrepreneur, work for the government entity somewhere. It doesn't matter.
We all need it.
We all need it. So yeah, that would be a great thing to spend some money on. And a lot of these places, actually, it's not going to cost you that much. You can go do it for very, very inexpensive, like $30 a day or something. So that's something to look
for.
Where
can you do it for $30 a day?
There's a couple places in, like up in northern New Mexico. I'll tell you.
I mean, you're like, you got a hotel room.
I wouldn't call it a hotel. You got a room.
Rob's recharge spot may be next to a tree.
It may be.
That's okay. Some people actually would be like, I'll be posted up in a tree with a gun in my hand. Yeah. Like, you know,
there's so some of that going on. Tis the season.
Yeah.
Around here.
Different strokes for different folks.
That's not what I'm talking about in this particular case, but hey, that might be your thing, which is cool. And that actually would not be what I'm talking about, though there could be some recharge that goes on there as well. As it relates to equipment, you know, I think it feels to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that we're in sort of a strange time where...
Agreed.
I don't know that there's much to say to buy right now. There's a lot of things that are coming down the pike potentially next year. And so it could end up being a bit frivolous even to try to buy something now, because it seems like there's so much potential as far as what's coming.
I agree. And that's why I said we don't know what we don't know, and we don't know what's coming. I was actually thinking about not going to CES this year, because I was just like, eh, I know what won't be there, which means I don't really want to go. Yeah. Because CES is one of the largest conferences, and they have some of the coolest crap. They really do. But it's literally impossible to see everything. It's absolutely physically impossible to go see everything. But again, I agree with you. I think that we are in a very weird place, and to buy any equipment that's not ancillary, in my opinion, is probably frivolous, if not foolish. Now, what do we call those costs that are regular costs for accessories, but they are like an SD card, like you throw it away after, you know, a half year or whatever. What do you call that? The financial term?
Oh, gosh.
It's like accessories, but essentially they have, and I forget what the
help.
Name of it. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, we all know what you're talking about.
The idea here is that if you need to buy stuff, buy the things that you know you're going to need for next year. Like if you need new SD cards, if you need new thumb drives, if you need new external hard drives. The things that you know you're going to burn through anyway. Look, this Black Friday season, this holiday season is shorter than normal. So you have retailers offering Black Friday deals. It's funny, the way that they're doing it also makes me extremely afraid of the economy as a whole. I mean, you've got more furniture doing their commercial that's like, we know you are too busy spending time with family, so we extended Black Friday again. It's like, so are you saying spending time with family isn't important?
Like,
are you saying that the economy's failing because you didn't sell enough? Or are you saying that you're just
that's
a terrible
funny.
Marketer?
Like,
there's
too
a
busy.
Lot of a lot of messages in that.
That's right. None of them are great messages.
Yeah.
You know, something else that comes to mind would be, I've seen some really good deals on monitors. And if you're going to be doing editing and so forth, you're going to need a really good monitor. So you see what they're going to see, right?
Yeah.
So that's something that comes to mind. The other thing as it relates to equipment is perhaps you come across an opportunity which could find its way to you in many ways to buy, say, a Phantom 4 V2, right?
Oh, man, I'd be picking those up like hotcakes.
Exactly. So that you take advantage of. But
yeah.
Just going out in general to look for other new equipment at this point in terms of birds, maybe not.
Yeah. It's just, man, you know, you talk about equipment, office equipment. I think of that new Epson printer, the Think Tank that doesn't need printer cartridges, just like you have, you know, that would be a good purchase, right? You get it at cheap Black Friday deals. You're going to use it all next year long. I think that would be a good way to save your money.
Are there any new camera deals or new cameras that are out there?
Oh, I actually told a couple of my friends I had that new A7R Mark IV in the cart.
Oh, really?
Like, ready to buy. Didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because I have other thoughts about what's going to happen to this industry in 2020. So, I've had such a change because Rob, I've gone from like, I want to make sure that I have the best offering possible to make sure that I can offer my client what other people can't.
Right.
To now, maybe that's not the best way to look at it because everyone's consuming, you know, information on a phone, and the gig economy does reward people who are research, they're fact finders. And like, for example, you know, that A6300 camera, you know, these bigger full frame cameras, they're still only doing 4K 30. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, doesn't cut it for me. I need 4K 60. I need 4K 120. You know, when I can get 4K 30, a great still images and shoot 1,000 frames a second on a camera that's sub $1,200, I'm probably going to buy that camera instead of buying a $4,000 camera body, all these lenses for a little bit of crispiness that someone, well, professionals will notice, but the people who you care about won't, which is unfortunate, but we are a factor of our perspectives. So for me, I'm thinking about efficiency now, right?
Sure.
I'm an efficiency freak now. I want to be the most efficient, which is so hard. I just, like, the more and more I try to be more efficient, I realize how difficult it is to be good at life. Like,
yeah, you know, we are in a really interesting time in that there is so much information, so much really great information, But as we all know, we get bogged down by it. And so being efficient also means cutting out information that is, what's the word, frivolous?
Yeah, I
mean, that is not helping us.
I mean, think about it. The only way to become good at all these different systems, which is life, is learning how to set up the best habits, because those habits turn into routines.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally turn into systems, and you're not fighting against the grain, which sometimes I find myself fighting against my own ingrained notions from childhood. Love you, Dad. Screw everyone else. Okay.
Yeah, or just the fear of being left out. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we don't. Discipline is as important now, if not more so than ever before, because of how much data is in our face.
Yep.
Right now.
Yep. Yep.
As
yep.
I speak.
Yep.
So anyways.
So the last thing I want to say before we go, if you don't mind, Rob, is,
please.
You know, we talked about ways to increase tax deductions.
I'm gonna listen to that on the way home. On the way down.
Tax deductions. Charitable contributions obviously are tax deductible. Just make sure that the charitable contribution that you make to someone is actually to a charitable organization. There is a very, very big problem, which didn't become news in New Mexico, probably for good reason, about, I gotta be careful what I say here, about, tax deductions to charitable organizations that didn't end up actually having the 501c3 or C4 tax exemption status. So yeah. Just make sure that whoever you give to, make sure that they are utilizing the money well, practically, for good purpose, and that they're actually a company that is 501c3.
I'm glad you brought that up, though. Like, do some good with some of this money as well, if you've got
money. Yeah, I mean, I think it's important.
Around. It is.
Okay, so great books to read, by the way. Gosh, I don't even think my library is up to date. Laws of Human Nature are great. Obviously, you know, I'm obsessed with Never Split the Difference. It's really good. I'm working on Navarro's new book. Give and Take, great book as well. The Dichotomy of Leadership. I actually wish my wife would read this book, because she would I feel like she would much better understand how hard it is to be a leader at work and then come home and like try to work things at home too. It's difficult. So another thing, if you're having a hard time changing things, check out the book Switch, How to Change Things When Change is Hard. If you're interested in how the American government is conducting aerial surveillance, and you just want a good little read to entice and entertain the brain, then don't be afraid to check out, this was given to me by our good friend at Honeywell, Eyes in the Sky, The Secret Rise of Gorgon Stare. The Morning Mind is great for setting those morning habits, although I feel like I figured out my own little morning hack after trying all the different morning hacks. I feel like I have my own morning hacks. Leaders Eat Last. Some people may find it valuable to listen to the book A New Earth, Awakening Your Life's Purpose. It depends on if you're a right or left-minded thinker. I would say if you're kind of more of a Californianite, that book will probably really speak to you in transitioning. Let's see. Man, there was a couple other ones. I'm not seeing them. One that I need to finish is Super Intelligence. I need to finish that one. 0 to 1 is a very good one if you're thinking about starting your own business.
Mm-hmm.
I need to add to my book list. I do have a book list, and I could link it in this podcast.
Oh, you know what? This is something I need from you.
What's that?
Your reggae playlist that supposedly won something.
Why?
Because somebody asked for it. And I think that's kind of cool. So I want to give it to them.
I'm sure someone from Embry-Riddle probably wants my pre-flight playlist too. So
I don't know. I haven't heard that one yet, but send me the reggae playlist.
It's the one that all the instructors that we listen to on the way to the training. So
I'll tell you one book that I'm going to hop into because of my kids and the stage that they're at in social media. And they were talking about it on the Joe Rogan podcast, which I've really started to love. But The Coddling of the American Mind. Have you heard of that? Have you read it?
Yes, I've read it. And I That was the book that divided me and my brother a little bit.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because I read that book and I was like, you know, this might be helpful in parenting. But I think the thing that I've learned is that I don't want to use him as an example because I don't want to share any information that is not beneficial to him or my family, but that book is so powerful, but you have to ensure that if you read that book, your spouse reads that book as well. Otherwise, you're going to start clashes like you've never even thought of before.
We'll just listen to it together on a trip.
Yeah, or that, because I think everyone in America needs to read that book because it talks about how important having difficult, conflicting conversations is, and it talks about not enabling people and how we do it to our kids without us even knowing it. Oh, that book's fire. The fact that you just mentioned that book, I'm like, yeah, Rob, yeah.
I'm excited to jump into that one.
I feel like you are the epitome of the person that book tries to get people to be, though, just giving you the, why I've never told you about it. I'm like, yeah, he's already this guy.
No, I appreciate that, but nope.
Anyway.
The learning never stops.
It really doesn't. On that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today because the learning should never stop. If you want to be successful, if you have a question, go to askdroneyou.com, upload that question, share the show with a friend because you never know who it might help and you never know how it may impact the industry as a whole. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
Thanks for listening.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.